In many rural towns across Maine, schools are on the front lines of the effort to identify students who are homeless or displaced and to help them with basic needs, from clothing and food to health care. As part of our week-long series, Finding a Way, Robbie Feinberg traveled to one York County school district and reports on some of the barriers these students face and what's being done to help them.
Cecilia Siriani's small office at Massabesic High School can sometimes get a bit messy. Piles of clothes and boxes of snacks fill cabinets and shelves. They're for the many students who come in every day.
Yeah, this box is out. You can dig through this one and then we can put it back.
Siriani's official job title for RSU 57 is the Outreach Services Coordinator. And a big part of that job is working with teachers and administrators to connect with students and families across the district who are homeless or displaced and help them meet some basic needs.
These students are also trying to be students. They're trying to be kids and teenagers. So they're dealing with all this adult stuff. Like, again, where's my food? I have to figure out how to get home. I have to figure out I don't have warm clothing. And they're trying to just fit in and be regular kids.
It's a role you don't always see in schools, but local officials say it's essential in this rural district, where poverty, food insecurity, and homelessness are frequent, but often hidden from public view.
And since there isn't shelter, we have a lot of families, I'll use the term inadequately housed, because we are talking about, 10 people living in a two-bedroom home, and that's the best that they can do. Okay, so this is ready to be sent.
On one morning, Siriani sits down with Savannah, a senior at Massabesic High School in Waterboro. She moved to Maine as a young child, and at age 11, with her father in prison, she says she was taken into foster care and separated from her brother because her mother's house was ruled unsafe. Over the past few years, Savannah says she was required to constantly watch other children in her foster home and was treated like an outsider.
Like, at dinner, it'd be them, and then I'd be at the other corner, or I'd make them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'd clean up after the kids. I'd give the kids showers. I folded their clothes. I did their laundry.
Savannah says she later discovered that some of her biological family had tried to reach out, but she wasn't told. Over time, she packed her belongings in trash bags and backpacks. One night, she left for good and stayed with a friend.
And I remember, I was, smiling. It was like the world was lifted off my shoulders because I was unhappy. And I'm a happy person, and I just got sick of being unhappy, and I need to leave.
For now, she's staying with a friend's family. And while she feels better in the new arrangement, she's been forced to navigate a brand new adult world, figuring out healthcare, food, college, and financial aid applications. It's a common story for many students.
So, how did the rest of yesterday go?
Back in Cecilia Siriani's office on another morning, a student has come in who's working to access food benefits. Siriani had helped her submit an application to the state, but she's yet to receive a card. So they call again.
Let's see how that goes. So I put you on speakerphone. Are you okay doing that on speakerphone?
They're put on hold, and after more than half an hour, they decide to hang up and try again that afternoon, as the student has already missed a lot of class time. Siriani says it's frustrating to watch young people try to work their way through a system that can be complicated, even for experienced adults, and one that rarely meshes with the 7-hour school day.
They're coming to school, they're working, they're going to vocational programs, they're living outside the district. Like, how many more obstacles or challenges can we put in front of these kids and hurdles to jump over just to have health benefits and food?
Under the federal McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act, schools are required to transport and educate students, as well as establish a local liaison to work with families, staff, and outside service providers. But Gail Erdheim with the State Department of Education says the job has varied from school to school, and some of those liaisons just didn't have enough time to do the job well in the past.
But I do think that schools are getting better at recognizing that it's not just a role on a piece of paper, it's actually a job that has to get done, and that they're being more serious about making sure that people have the time.
In fact, she says the recent reauthorization of the federal law requires that local liaisons have capacity to do their work, which she says has led districts to begin emphasizing those responsibilities.
So what I'll do is I'll scan this into my computer.
As the end of the school year approaches, senior Savannah has managed to fill out every form and piece of paper to work through complicated financial aid and college applications, made even more complicated by the fact that she's had so much turnover over the past few years. Savannah says it took days of meetings with Sirianni and others to sort through the process.
It was so difficult because honestly, like let's say Cecilia's position never existed and I really did have to do this on my own. That, I remember doing it on my own and I'm thinking like, what the heck?
All this stuff is just so overwhelming. Luckily, I think we catch some of those kids and those kids talk to each other. Kids have brought other kids to me to guidance and... But there are, I can't imagine the number of students that exist that, again, walk silently, don't know what resources to do, and just feel like they should be able to do this and they can't.
For Savannah, at least, the help has made a difference. She's been accepted to college and hopes to study psychology. She says she wants to improve the system that she had to go through as a child so that other kids might have it a little bit easier. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And tomorrow, we'll visit one school that's working with many homeless and displaced students, and so is seeing signs of success. Our reporting on issues affecting teenagers and young adults in Maine is made possible with support from the John T. Gorman Foundation.